Nicole Grant Giraldi stood in front of a far too full-length mirror that hung on a wall of the too small cottage where she, her husband, Special Agent Joe Giraldi, and their twin daughters currently lived. It exposed two primary reasons women were not designed to give birth at 47: lack of elasticity and surplus gravity. She closed one eye and shifted slightly, but the expanse of flesh did not become easier to contemplate. Despite all of her fears and doubts, the body she was staring at had performed admirably. It had adapted and stretched to accommodate Sophia and Gemma. Against great odds, it had carried them full term, propelled them into the world 9 months ago, and then provided sustenance. What it had not done was snap back into anything that resembled its previous shape. Her eyes slid away. She forced them back. It was time to accept reality. Her breasts hung lower than seemed anatomically possible. Blue veins streaked across them, no doubt to match the ones that now crisscrossed the legs she'd once been proud of. Stretch marks cut across the stomach that jiggled as she turned. Although she knew it was a mistake, she looked at her rear end, which had grown wider and had somehow been injected with cottage cheese, most likely while she'd been sleeping or confined to bed rest.
"Are you ready?"
Joe called. She sighed and turned her back on the mirror as she wriggled into a jogging bra, slipped her arms into a t-shirt, then began to pull the too tight spandex up over her thighs. Almost.
"I'm going to put the girls in the stroller. We'll be outside."
Nikki tied her hair back into a low ponytail, donned a lightweight running jacket, and laced up her shoes. Careful not to look at herself again, she left the bedroom and made it through the tiny cottage in a matter of seconds. It was the second day of January. On the west coast of central Florida, that meant a vivid blue sky, butter-yellow sun, and a cool salt breeze. She breathed in the crisp air as she stepped onto the concrete path that bisected the Sunshine Hotel property and nearly stumbled at the sight of Joe and the girls waiting for her. Were they really all hers? Tamping down a swell of emotion, she moved toward the stroller, taking in the pink and white knit hats neatly tied beneath their chins and the streaks of sunscreen slathered over their cheeks. Sophia had her father's dark hair, sparkling brown-black eyes, and sunny temperament, while Gemma was auburn-haired and green-eyed like Nikki. Where Gemma's oversized lungs and the will to use them had come from was still under debate.
"All present, recently diapered, and accounted for. Requesting permission to move out."
Joe shot her a wink and saluted smartly. Though he was closing in on 50, Joe remained broad-shouldered and hard-bodied, with a chiseled face and piercing dark eyes that too often saw right through her, a skill she blamed on his FBI training. They'd met when he'd used her to help him catch her younger brother, Malcolm Dyer, whose $300 million Ponzi scheme had left Nikki and then-strangers Madeline Singer and Avery Lawford with nothing but shared ownership of Bella Flora, a 1920s Mediterranean revival-style mansion at the south end of the beach. She saluted back and fell into step beside him. A few doors down, they passed the two-bedroom cottage that Madeline Singer and her daughter Kira and grandson Dustin had just moved into. "It'll be great having Maddie here, but it's so strange to think of someone else living in Bella Flora," Nikki said, thinking of the house they'd brought back from the brink of ruin and that had done the same for them. After they'd first renovated Bella Flora, Dustin's famous father, mega movie star Daniel Duranian, had bought it for Dustin and Kira. It had become home to all of them when they'd needed one most, but Kira had been forced to rent it out.
"Yeah,"
Joe agreed as they wheeled past Bitsy Baynard's one bedroom, which the former heiress had taken in lieu of repayment for the money she'd put into their now defunct TV show.
"When is Bitsy coming back?"
"I don't know. She said she was going to stay in Palm Beach until she found someone who knew something about where Birdie is hiding." Nikki grimaced. In her former life as an A-list matchmaker, Nikki had brought Bitsy, heiress to a timber fortune, and her husband together, and had counted them as one of her biggest successes. Right up until last January, when Bertie disappeared with Bitsy's fortune and an exotic dancer who was pregnant with his child. When the walkway split, they wheeled the stroller toward the low-slung main building, a mid-century gem that they'd renovated for what they'd hoped would be a new season of their TV show, Do-Over. The sound of voices and the scrape of furniture reached them from the new rooftop deck, where tables and chairs were being set up. The pool area was quiet. The lifeguard would take his place on the retro lifeguard stand at noon when temperatures had risen and the rooftop grill started cranking out hot dogs and hamburgers.